Hey folks, and welcome to another episode of Podcraft. This is the podcast all about podcasting, from launching a show to monetization and everything in between. I'm Colin Gray, joined as always by Matthew.
Good morning. Very well this morning, thank you.
Good, good. We're tying up the season. Season 10, our deca season, decathon.
Yeah, testimonial, I once called it. You didn't understand. It's no. A football reference.
Yes, don't forget football. This is the last episode of season 10, which has been all about how to launch your first podcast episode. So the essential guide to everything you need to that first podcast episode. And like I say, we've been keeping this minimal, haven't we? We've been keeping it to the minimal setup that you need to keep it simple as possible to help you get that first episode out there. So if you are looking to launch your first episode, please do pop back to the start of season 10 and start listening there. You'll get everything you need. But this episode, to tie up, what we're doing is a what's next, aren't we? Stepping up. So like I say, we've done the essentials over the last 12 episodes. Now we're going to tell you what you would want to do to upgrade it. So when would you upgrade it though, Matthew? Like, I genuinely think the first 10, 20 episodes, you should stick to the essentials, keep it simple.
Yeah, just find your feet. But yeah, it's kind of, it's when you realise that now you're doing this and you're out at sea, if you like.
Yeah, yeah.
And you realise that you're playing a long game here.
Yes.
So people who are launching a podcast are generally really filled with enthusiasm. There's this real, like, visible sense of progression because you've got a to-do list and you're working through it and you're getting stuff done. You know, I'm submitted here, I'm launched there. So there's all this stuff that you could visibly see happening.
Yes.
But once you're out there just getting an episode out, whether that's every week or whatever, that's when you really, you might not see the growth that you'd hoped for.
Yeah.
And a lot of people very early on just think, oh, this doesn't work.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know why I'm doing this. And they give up before they ever gave their show a chance to thrive, didn't they?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I mean, like I say, it's a long game. And also it takes a while to bed into your style, I think, as well. Like it takes, I don't know, a lot of people I see doing it, say 10, 15, 20 episodes, and it's by the 15th or 20th even that they start becoming more comfortable with it, finding their voice. You know, a lot of people send us that question, how do I find my voice?
Mm.
And it's weird that it takes you a while to find out how to be yourself, basically. And it's partly about what makes you unique as well, isn't it? Like how you get yourself out there. So basically, once you're 10, 15, 20 episodes in, you've found your voice, you've found some audience. So you've found a few hundred people that are listening to your show, maybe, or even just a few dozen, that's fine as well. But you've justified that you know what you're doing with this podcast and caper. You've got a topic that people are interested in. People are getting in touch with you and asking you questions and giving you tips on future topics. That's when I feel it's worth starting to look at upgrading your process. Only once you know this is for you, you enjoy it, it's worthwhile in terms of either your work or your hobby or whatever the aim for the show is, and then you can start to think about upgrading that a bit. The first thing that I would say, and this probably applies from the first one as well, is I always bang on about seasons. I just think seasons is so much, it makes things much, much easier, much more sustainable. And it just breaks stuff up a bit as well. Like, there's so many people jump on podcasting and they say, right, I'm going to do a podcast. I'm going to do it on this topic. I'm going to do it weekly and I'm going to do it forever. And it just totally jades you after a while. Like, you get 10 episodes in and you're suddenly starting to struggle for topic ideas because you're doing it every single week. You're not giving yourself pre-planning time and that kind of thing. So, but if you can plan out a season at a time, like we're doing here, we're doing how to get your first episode out there. So as soon as we think of that topic, it's easy to break that down into, well, we've got 13 episodes on this season now. We broke it down into that. And then suddenly it's easier to plan those episodes because they all link together. It's a story from start to finish. So it helps you batch record. Like, we've been batch recording these in 3 or 4 episodes, which makes that much simpler, much easier, much more efficient. It makes the editing much more efficient. You're editing 3 or 4 episodes at a time, aren't you? Which gets you into the groove of it. You get them all done quicker. It makes it better for you. And you get a break. So you get a month off in between seasons where you can actually ask your listeners, what do you want to hear in the next season? You can let them direct the next season a bit more, which invests them into it a bit more as well. And finally, for the listeners too, it makes it better for them because they're actually learning episode to episode. you know, they learn a bit on the first episode of the season, and the second episode of the season actually builds on that. It's how you actually learn. It's building on the last one, rather than the standard podcast model, which is to say, talk about this topic this week, and then a totally different topic the next week, and then an entirely different topic the next week. It doesn't really build on your learning. And finally, I know I'm going on about this, but it's the compulsion aspect as well. So this season of Podcraft, every episode is important. So people should listen to every single episode. And I think that's been pretty clear. So it's likely we'll get decent numbers on every episode of this season, because people will be listening from start to finish. Whereas if we'd done 12 episodes, the last 12 episodes, they'd all been totally unrelated topics. The numbers would be up and down. You know, there's no compulsion. There's no necessity to listen to every single episode of that season. So people can pick and choose. If they're rushed for time, they might say, oh, I'll miss this one out. I'll catch up again on the next one. And that doesn't build loyal listening. It doesn't build, you know, success in your listeners, which is what builds sort of fanatical fans. So yeah, there's all those reasons for me around at least planning in seasons. If not straight away, then maybe later on in your podcast.
What about, we talked about this in the last series we did, which was about highly produced podcasts.
Yeah, yeah.
But like at this stage of talking about setting up your podcast, we're talking about you doing everything.
Yeah, yeah.
So at what stage do you kind of think to yourself, like, might I need to get some help with maybe the editing or that? Like when do you maybe arrive at that decision?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I suppose a lot of people arrive at that when they start to earn some money through their show, don't they? So as soon as they get a wee bit of sponsorship in, you know, you're making even $25 or $50 an episode or something off your show, then suddenly that $25 can pay for an editor to do that for you. And you don't have to worry about the production side of things. All you do is hand them the raw files and then they turn it into a published episode. And that gives you so much more time to concentrate on the content, which is cool. I mean, I almost think that's too late. And I know this isn't an easy one for anyone, but for everyone, because a lot of people don't have even the sort of $10, $20 budget you'd need, but you can get podcast editors out there for, you know, I mean, it probably costs you $25 to $50 an episode to get somebody decent that's going to be reliable. But if you can budget that $25, $30, $50 even an episode, it accelerates your growth because you can spend much more time on the important bit, which is the topics, the planning, the audience engagement, the promotion, you know, the monetization type of stuff. So even before you're earning, yeah.
And we've got a post on the site. Well, it's a directory of some podcast producers that we know, isn't it? So people that we know and trust, we know they do a good job.
Yeah, yeah,
so we'll put links to that in the show notes. But yeah, it's a case of like the more you pay, the more you get, because you'll find somebody, like you say, for very cheap who'll edit your episode.
Yeah.
But you could also pay a bit more. I mean, folks that we work with over in the US, one of our friends, Matthew Boudreau, does a lot of articles. I believe the service they do, like, they'll do research for you if you want it. They'll write show notes and everything.
Okay. Yeah,
so
yeah.
Again, you'll find links to him in the directory that I linked in the show notes. But the more you pay, and again, I think their rates are pretty reasonable.
Yeah,
Matt's not sponsoring this episode, by the way, but
yeah, but he's good. So he's buying worth, me a beer. Mentioned. Yeah,
yeah. Yeah. So you can pay people to do anything for you.
Yeah.
Anything legal.
There's a statement.
It came out wrong. So yeah,
yeah,
yeah. Outsource stuff that not just that you don't like doing, but that you're better using your time on the things that really.
The show notes are a good example of that, aren't they? Like, a lot of people hate doing their show notes, writing show notes. And you can often find decent writers for writers actually sometimes cost a bit more because they need to have really good English and there's a bit more qualifications there. But that is something that can take like half an hour to an hour to make good show notes. And actually it's worth having good show notes because that's really helps you get found. It really increases audience engagement if you have good show notes. It's search engine fodder. So, you know, it helps your site be more visible, all that stuff. So that's another one which a lot of people look at outsourcing later in the process, certainly.
So what if you're getting bogged down with editing, but you don't really have the money to hire a producer. Do you know any tools or that that you might be able to?
Funnily enough, yeah, no, definitely. You should mention Alitu. So our tool, our the podcast, Alitu, the podcast maker, we call it, is our web app, which you can log into. All you do is upload your raw bit of audio, and then we process it, we add your branding, and we can publish it for you. So it does everything that an editor would do. If you're not having to edit, but then we can help you edit as well, actually. So it's designed to make it as quick as possible and take away all of that tech stress so that you don't have to learn Audacity or Audition or anything like that. We just handle the volume editing, the conversions, the bit rates, all of those techie bits. And then we can help you really simply edit and remove mistakes and, you know, trim the file and really make complex episodes as well. So we can put together 4 or 5 different audio files into one episode. You know, you can put in your listener clips, you can put in adverts, you can do transitions between them all in a really simple way. So like fade from one to the next, have your music in there, all that kind of stuff. And we've also got a theme music creator these days too. So you can create your own theme music to use inside Alitu. So yeah, definitely we've designed that as a lower budget version of a podcast producer. It kind of replaces a podcast producer that's not having to do a whole lot of editing, basically. I mean, if you're doing a really complex show, which you have to bring together loads of different voices and all that kind of stuff, then absolutely you need an editor, a producer. But if you do a relatively simple show, like an interview with an intro and an outro, and then, you know, music on the start and the end, even a couple of extra clips in there, we can do that with Alitu, and we can do that in a really automated, quick way. So definitely check that out. You can find it over at alitu.com, alitu.com, and you'll get a 7-day free trial where you can test out
content ideas going forward. A lot of people they run out of episode ideas, don't they? Or they think they do. They think they have.
Yes.
Like, there are lots of different ways that you can find things to talk about in your topic. I think what's worth mentioning as well is like the ways you could structure these episodes, which gives you a lot of ideas. So like doing things like a review or a case study or a comparison.
Yeah.
And when you think, okay, I want to do a comparison, you will be able to think of things in your niche and your topic that you can compare. Same with reviews, same with case studies, stories about things. So like, and that's even without delving into, you know, what am I going to talk about? It's just how am I going to present this information in a pretty fun way?
Yeah, yeah. There's they call it Marcus Sheridan actually is a guy that talks about this a lot. He calls it his big five. You've got I'm going to remember them all. You've got best of. So examples for us are the best microphones for podcasting, the best podcast hosting platforms, that kind of stuff. They always do really well. You've got versus. So Audition versus Audacity. Or the Samsung Q2U versus the SM58 microphones. Then you've got problems. So what kind of thing would we talk about there? Problems like how can I cut time on editing, or how can I fix my Zoom H4n recorder, or something like that, you know, problems that people commonly ask about in your area. Then you've got prices. So how much does X cost? How much does podcasting cost? How much does a digital recorder cost? That kind of stuff. And there is a fifth. What is it again? I can't remember now, but they are the main ones. Comparisons. Oh no, I did comparisons, didn't I?
Yeah.
There's actually, I think there's a review, that's it. So review something. Yeah. So people often type in something, review. So Samsung Q2U, review. Audacity, review, whatever it is. So the combination for me there is thinking of those five big questions, those five big question areas that people have, and then talking to your audience. I think people that don't have content ideas are obviously not talking to their audience enough, because their audience are out there asking questions.
Mm-hmm.
So you need to get on social media, talk to them. You need to get to events.
When you say audience, that could be target audience, obviously, if you don't have much of an audience.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, sorry, I should be clear there. So it doesn't need to be people that actually listen to your show. It's just the people that you want to listen to your show.
Mm.
So yeah, going to a live event and finding lots of people that are looking to start a podcast for us. They've never heard of Podcraft, but they're asking questions about podcasting nonetheless. So going and talking to these people about it. Yeah, so I mean, there are tools out there. So there's stuff like Quora. So searching your keyword in Quora. Have you ever used that for podcasting questions?
Yeah, absolutely.
Or Answer the Public
That's a good one. Yeah. Mm. We should have put me onto that just a couple of months ago, I think. But yeah, that's really good.
Yeah.
Really good.
And another one as well called Buzz Sumo. Buzz Sumo is a good one for if you have it's not so good for pure searching, but if you have an idea of what you're wanting to write about, it can direct you towards the real trends, like stuff that does really well. So you type in podcast microphones, for example, and we'll see the articles around that have been shared a lot. So it directs you towards the more kind of popular angles on those areas. So yeah, I mean, content ideas are funny. Seasons, yeah, going back to my pet subject, helped to solve this because we planned out these 13 episodes all at once. We've had 13 weeks of content here where we just spent an hour at the start planning this out, didn't we? Mm-hmm. We said, right, we're going to do how to launch your first episode. We spent an hour sketching out what each of the episodes would be. We spent a wee bit extra, you know, fleshing out each of those episodes. And that's it. You don't have to then wake up on a Monday morning and go, what am I going to talk about this week? It's no, you've got a list there. You've got a list of stuff that you're going to talk about for a whole 12 weeks or 13 weeks, whatever your season length is. So that works well as well. But yeah, I mean, it is something that people struggle with. And I understand. It's, you know, when you're 100 episodes in, you can feel like you've talked about everything. But honestly, just talk to your audience and you'll find so many more angles to talk about.
It's your takeaway from this. It's never too late for seasons.
That is true. I have seen shows go to, in fact, there's a couple of examples of shows that have gone to 100, you know, episode 100, and then changed to a seasons format at that point, because it just felt like it was a good way to almost reboot the show and cover old topics that they have done, but in a more in-depth way to organize the show a bit more. You know, you're 100 episodes in and suddenly it's quite hard to find stuff in those 100 episodes.
And especially like if you are a tech-related show, I mean, you'd recorded a season like this back in 2014, hadn't you?
Yeah.
But a tech-related show, things change. So,
you
know, people might not want to say, well, I spoke about this in 2008. Yes. You know, things have moved on. So,
I've recorded this season probably 7 or 8 times because it started in 2008 or 9 as a course for lecturers and it iterated every single year. And then 2014, was the one that was available on the Podcraft feed till recently.
Yeah.
And now we're redoing that one. So yeah, definitely there's always room for upgrading. All right. I think that's most of the questions answered. What we want to do to finish up this episode is basically point you towards further resources. So there's all sorts of other stuff that we haven't covered, from like proper growth tactics, promotion, that type of stuff, to monetizing. We haven't talked about monetizing yet because I think that's something that you need to get your show out. You need to see how your audience interacts with it, where your topic ends up before you can talk about monetizing. And then you've got equipment as well. Like we talked about the basic equipment setups, didn't we, Matthew? But over time, you'll want to upgrade it a little bit just to, you know, put a bit more polish in your show once you can justify it. So what we got, Matthew, where are we going to send some people?
Well, if you want to kind of do a course on growing your show, growing your audience, promoting your podcast, we've got one of those in the Podcast Host Academy, 30 Days of Audience Growth. It's a course where really short daily videos with wee tasks at the end of them, and that you could just, you know, do one a day basically over the course of a month. So you could find
spread
that.
It out if you feel that's too fast.
Exactly, yeah. So find that at thepodcasthost.com/audience. So monetization, definitely not the reason to get into podcasting, but once people have been doing it a wee while, they're doing all right, you know, they're getting decent engagement, there is scope to maybe start covering your hosting costs or pay for a podcast producer. So where could the listener find out some more info on monetization?
Yeah, sure. Well, you're working on an article for that, aren't you? It'll be out by the time this episode is released. So we've got a full article there on all the different ways to monetize your podcast. You can find that over at thepodcasthost.com/money, and I'll give you all your money questions. And we've also got some resources coming very soon in the Academy on that as well. So do check out the Academy for our monetization course. And also there's a season of Podcraft too. If you prefer to listen, go back and listen to, season 6 or 7, I believe it was, Podcraft.
5,
was it?
Yeah.
Season 5 on Podcraft. And we've got a full set there. So yeah, a few different monetization resources for you there to get started. What about your pet subject, Matthew, which is the kit, the shiny things. People, I mean, we tell people to keep their kit simple, but you know, there's always folk out there like us that like their shiny things. Where do they find out more about that?
Where indeed? I didn't know you were going to ask me for a link there.
Doesn't need to do a link. Basically, we've got a section on the site, don't we? Because we've got dozens, if not hundreds, of articles around podcast equipment. So if you're looking for a mic or a mixer or whatever, then pop over to thepodcasthost.com/equipment. But I suppose, do you need to upgrade your equipment?
No, you definitely don't. I mean, for a lot of people, if you're doing remote interviews online, you'll get away with just using your USB mic forever.
Yeah.
And that's really all you need. One of the reasons, and we talked about this in an earlier episode, the microphone that we recommend, the Samsung Q2U, or I think it's alternative, the ATR2100.
Yeah.
The reason we recommend them is because they are both USB and XLR.
Yeah.
So you can upgrade to a mixer later on without having to change your microphone. But you don't need to do that. You might want to get a mixer if you want to, you know, start doing local recordings, you know, if you're having a bit of computer troubles, so you're recording on a call recording software and your computer's crashed a few times. But then the argument there would be just buy a new computer instead of a mixer.
For me, it's like, it's when you go beyond... A mixer or a digital recorder are useful if you go beyond two people, aren't
yeah,
they?
Yeah, so, two people in the same location.
In the same room, yeah, totally. Or even two people. I mean, it's not very easy to record two people into one computer, is it? Like,
no.
You can put two USB mics into a computer, but it often causes little troubles and conflicts
and stuff.
Yeah, it's
not perfect, yeah.
So as soon as you have two people in one location, or more than two people especially, if you have three or four people especially, a mixer or a good digital recorder is a huge benefit there. I mean, it's such an easy way to record even one person, but especially two, three, four people with an H6, isn't it? A Zoom H6 recorder. You just get your mics out, you plug the XLR cables in, you hit the big red button and it just works. And
yeah,
it's really good quality too. So, I mean, it's arguably an increased workflow as well, because you don't have to worry about software and all that kind of caper. You just end up with a good quality audio file on your recorder that you can put wherever you like.
Yeah, I mean, I guess, like, I'm thinking of the starter podcast doing the USB remote interview. If you start with two people, you probably should be getting that equipment straight out the gate.
You
just
could do.
Certainly
in person. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And I mean, the other reason sometimes I talk about using a mixer is for recording workflow, in terms of, you know, if you're the type of person that wants quite a polished show that sounds quite highly produced, you can go live. And I've tried this many times in the past, in that you can play your theme music on, well, okay, let's explain the whole thing. You have your mixer, you have your microphone plugged into the mixer, but you also have, say, an iPad or your phone plugged into the mixer as well. And on that phone or iPad, you have a Soundcart app, which is basically nothing more than a set of boxes on the screen which have sound effects and music loaded up into them. And it means you treat it like a radio show. So you press the button for your theme music, you hit record, press the button for your theme music plays, you can fade down that theme music from the mixer because you've got it plugged into the iPad, you can start speaking. If you want to play a transition into the next section, you can do that. You can have a listener call-in queued up on your iPad. So you just press that and it plays straight into the recorder through the mixer. You can have your outro music. You can have, you know, you can even bring in Skype calls into a mixer as well and have the whole thing all produced as if it's a totally live show. And if you can do that, and it takes a bit of practice to do that because I've tried it a few times, but if you can do that, that cuts out all of the editing. You're just pressing record, starting, pressing stop, and you've got your fully featured show. So I know people that do that. It's not the easiest thing in the world to do, but it's pretty fun. Like, it's quite good fun to run a live show, especially with guests on it, and be able to just press all these effects and music and all that kind of stuff and make it sound really cool, like a radio show. So that's another reason as well that you could use a mixer.
Good stuff. Closing thoughts then, I suppose. So final sort of advice for the listener as we send them out into the cruel world.
Yes.
I guess, like, being aware that, like, plateaus are going to happen. I talked a bit about plateaus. What I mean by that is just you feel your downloads, your numbers, your engagement has maybe gone a bit stagnant and you're not seeing any progress. So we talked about this very early in the season. I think it was the first episode. Is, like, just always remember your reason for doing it. your motivation.
Yeah.
And, you know, use that as basically your guide, your anchor, I suppose, just for keeping you moving forward with
it. Yeah. Remember, I mean, if you find you're hitting a plateau, if your numbers aren't growing like you want them to, it's often because, well, it's a couple of reasons possibly, but it's often because you're spending much more time on the content than the promotion. Podcasting is it's marketing that you need to market. whether it's a hobby or whether it's for a business or whether it's for education, whatever it is, you need to market this thing. You need to get it out there. And there's so many different ways to do it. And there's so many people trying to do it in the same old ways, like just basic old social media posts, that kind of thing. This is a platform that really benefits from thinking differently, from putting the extra effort in to talk to real people, from sort of getting yourself out there. So just try and think of some new ways, find some courses like the one we've got, like our 30 Days of Growth that we mentioned inside the Academy. Watch case studies. There's lots of people writing about how they're promoting shows out there just now. And keep pushing through. Yeah, think about that reason why you're doing it. Keep pushing through and remember it's a long game. It's something that takes a while, doesn't it? Like how long do you think, Matthew? How long before you should think about hitting your initial goals? Do you think it's this 6-month thing, a year?
I think it's different goals, isn't it?
Yeah.
Like you need your long term, your big goals, but you need to be able to break them up and set little milestones so you feel like you're making progress.
Absolutely.
But you know, if your ultimate goal is to be full time on your podcast and it's your first podcast and you're 4 months into it, then don't kid yourself. You know, you've got years to work on this. Get to work. There's lots of things you can do to make things better. Quitting's not one of them. That's the bottom line. You know, if you've done all your due diligence and your proper planning that we've talked about in this season, then you're doing a podcast that you know is important and matters and has a purpose. So you've done all that, you just need to press on with it. Try tweaking wee different things, but don't quit ultimately.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, there's no point in putting a time on it. Like that was a bad question to ask, but taking an average, like if you're from a standing start, it changes for every sector, but I've rarely seen a podcast go from a standard start to the person making a decent income, not even a living, in under a year. Rarely seen that without, you know, I say standard start as in you've not already got a big audience, like you're not already running a blog with 100,000 viewers every month or something like that. Like if you're just starting to grow a business or you've got a relatively small audience and you're just starting a podcast today, rely on the fact it's going to take anywhere between 6 months and a year to start earning anything significant from it. But it's such a rewarding thing to do along the time anyway. Like it's a fun, we don't do this just for the money. We do this because, well, we didn't do it for any money in the first few years, eh? and many of the shows we do now still don't earn any money. But we have earned a living over podcasting for the last few years, so it can be done. And we've got shows that do that as well. And we've seen other people do exactly the same thing, so it's possible. But yeah, it's worthwhile having realistic expectations.
Yeah, and
this is the least motivational thing ever, isn't it?
Well, I was going to close with something really bad. Anyway, quite if you hate it, obviously, but hopefully you don't.
Yeah, no, on a serious note, like people can earn a living from podcasting. You can create a great show that changes people's lives. Like genuinely, we get feedback from people these days that our podcast, just teaching people how to podcast has changed their lives because it's helped them get their voice out there and reach their own audience and all that. That stuff means everything to us in creating this kind of thing. So it's not just about the earnings, it's about the impact you can have. And if that keeps you going as well, then that's great. So good luck with it. Hope you enjoy it. And we really, 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 really hope you get your first episode out as a result of this season, because that's the bit that people often don't do. It's the first step. It's just taking that action to start it and seeing where it goes from there. All right. Thank you again for joining us on this season. Like we said, this is the last episode of the season. Season 10 is tying up now, so we'll be taking a couple of months off of Podcraft, coming back with season 11 in the autumn. So we'd love to get your feedback, though, on what you'd like to see on the next season. Like I said, a good thing to do in between seasons is talk to your audience, find out what they want next. What do you want next? What would you like to cover us to cover on Podcraft? Please do send anything you want in to us at info@thepodcasthost.com. Suggestions for topics, questions for the next season. Or you can tweet us at @thepodcasthost and let us know what you want to hear. Also, I really do want to hear, if you have put out an episode as a consequence of this season, tweet me on podcast and the podcast host on Twitter. Let me know, because I'd love to hear if anybody actually does it. How many do you think, Matthew? I think dozens, hundreds, seven. Thousands.
I'm writing seven.
Seven?
700.
Seven. There's Matthew's Pfeiffer optimism kicking in as usual.
700 people get in touch to say that I need to not be on the show anymore.
Yes, exactly. He's bringing this down. Thank you again for joining us on season 10 of Podcraft, which has been all about getting you and your first podcast out there into the world. Join us again for the next season. Until then, have fun, good luck, enjoy the podcasting.